Happy Labor Day, and it is opening week of the NFL. That's right. This week, real games. The 53-man rosters have been done. Real games. Things will count this week as the Kansas City Chiefs come into Jacksonville at the TIAA Bank Field to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have to remind you all that opening week of the NFL is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Promo code locked on gets you 20% at MackWeldon.com. All right, so the 53-man roster has been set here in Jacksonville and around the league. I won't belabor this by just going through the list of names. I'll just tell you what I think about it. You all have seen the list of names. You know who's been cut, who's been picked up, who's been gotten off the waiver wire. So Jacksonville has done some things that really allows you to see exactly what it is that they want to accomplish and how they believe they can go the best route in doing so. On offense, right now, no veteran backup for Nick Foles. They're going with Nick Foles. Nick Foles has yet to play in his entire career, an entire season for any NFL team. So hopefully he's able to stay up off the ground and stay healthy and not be hurt or not be injured because their backup right now is Gardner Minshew. The Patriots did release Brian Hoyer the other day, so there's some speculation as to whether or not Brian Hoyer will be a guy that this team goes after to try to solidify that backup position and give them some experience just in case Nick Foles goes down for a short period of time. If he goes down for an extended period of time, it's a done data anyway, because most teams can't really. And it's hard to say this about Nick Foles, since Nick Foles is actually the guy that came in for an injured player and won the Super Bowl. But most teams, when they lose their starter for an extended period of time, it means their season pretty much goes down the drain. The running back position scared us all a little bit on the initial cutdown because they kept Leonard Fournette, Alfred Blue, and Raquel Armstead. Well, between the two of the trio of those guys, Alfred Blue is banged up and ended up being placed on IR. Raquel Armstead is a fifth-round pick who's never, obviously, because he's a rookie, he's never played any substantial time in the NFL yet. And Leonard Fournette hasn't been healthy for a complete season since he came into the league a few years ago. So you were wondering what was going on with that position. Well, they went out and added a couple of guys. One is going to be a kick returner. They added a couple of guys in free agency. Once the waiver wire livened up on Sunday, and they got a little bit of depth there. It's still a scary thought to think that they'll go into the season without having guys other than Fournette who have had significant carries. That's a far cry from what they've done in the past, because even when they had Fournette in the past, they had Chris Ivory, they had Corey Grant, they had T.J. Yeldon. They're not really investing a lot in the running back position, and it's a little bit surprising considering the fact that they've always said that they wanted to be a run team, a team that was run-oriented and played defense. And it's also surprising because they, over the years, they actually invested so many other resources into the running back position, whether it be free agency dollars or whether it be high draft picks, first, second-round draft picks. They even traded a draft pick last year for Carlos Hyde, who they only had for half a season. So a little bit surprising that they chose that way to do things. But it is what it is. The offensive line, not too many surprises. If anything surprises you about the offensive line, is that they actually moved on from Wells. You know, I always said that Shatley and Wells would make a real good name for a law firm, but Josh Wells was finally released and let go. They moved on. They added, obviously, the rookie in Juwan Taylor, but then they also kept Brandon Thomas. They kept Brandon Thomas around this year, and they have Cedric Ogbuehie, a former first-round pick out of Texas A&M, who was also brought in to compete behind the obvious starters, who is Cam Robinson, Norwell, along with Brandon Linder. I think it's Richardson. I think it's the second-year kid out of North Carolina State that's going to get the start. So that's what you have. The offense is all on Nick Foles' back to go along with the wide receivers that made this football team. C.J. Board, obviously, Chris Conley, D.D. Westbrook, D.J. Chark. And as of right now, those are the top four guys at the wide receiver position. So the offense is set. Jacksonville, they better score some points, because guess what's coming? Kansas City's coming in here Sunday, and Kansas City is a team that scores a lot of points. I'm Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars. Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. So what we'll do now is take a look at strengths, weaknesses, perceived strengths, perceived weaknesses of this football team this year with the way that it is constructed. I have to remind you all, though, got to go to DraftKings.com now and use the code Locked On. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's right, DraftKings.com. Strengths of this football team will obviously be the defense. The defensive line, which is led by Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue, Marcel Darius, and now this fabulous rookie, Josh Allen, whenever they can figure out the packages to get him on the field. It's going to be critical, though, that they win on first down so they could get that package on the field. Because right now it still looks like they're going to start Marcel Darius at the three technique, and Avery Jones is going to be the nose tackle. So if you win first down and you get the down and distance situations that you want and that are favorable to you, at that point, that is when you can then go and bring Josh Allen in and move Calais Campbell inside. I wonder how long it's going to be, though, before they actually just say, you know what, the hell with this. We're going to just put our best four players on the field and give Josh Allen a start early. I'm really, really wondering when that's going to happen and how long they go with the bigger lineup. And if teams can exploit that, if teams can say, okay, well, what they basically have is they have one true interior defensive lineman and then they have three pass rushers. So let's see if we can take advantage of the fact that they want to be fast and disruptive and start grounding and ground and pounding on them. The only team that's been able to do that pretty much in the past has been the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans who Jaguars play in week three, they're pretty much hurt and banged up. Derrick Henry was banged up in the preseason, as well as Taylor Lewan's going to miss the first four games because of a league mandated suspension. So it's just going to be really, really critical for me to watch and see how quickly the Jaguars are able to get into their personnel where they have their best players on the field, which includes Josh Allen. And then if teams can really try to get them in and get them out of that stuff. Their schedule right now, the way it's set up, is they're just loaded with players, playmakers on the other team. They have a very, very tough schedule in terms of quarterbacks. And these teams, they're not going to come into this thing like trying to be overly careful and overly thinking that they want to play in a way that's going to avoid Jacksonville's strengths. You're going to tell Drew Brees, okay, well, since we're playing Jacksonville, we're not going to let you throw the ball as much today. No, it ain't going to work. You think Drew Brees, a great quarterback like that, is going to sit there and put up with that? No, he won't put up with that. You think Phillip Rivers, you think Matt Ryan is not going to want to play the way that they play because they want to avoid the Jaguars' strengths, which is the pass rush as well as the defensive backs, who we'll get to in just a minute? No, they're not. Teams are going to try to be aggressive, especially now that the Jaguars are getting away from the controlling the game and controlling the clock and playing offense so that you don't make mistakes and field position and grind it. No, they went out and spent all that money on Nick Foles, and I believe they trust Nick Foles enough that they're going to try to be very, very aggressive offensively. That's why you go and get a John DeFilippo. That's why you go and do some of the things that they've done in the offseason. That's why you add Chris Conley, another big, tall target that played in an Andy Reid offense. And you sit and you build up D.D. Westbrook and you do those things on offense because you're going to be more aggressive. So teams, when they play Jacksonville, won't sit there and think, okay, all we got to do is get to 17 and 20 points and get ahead of them a little bit and see if we can force Bortles to throw the ball and make these mistakes. That's not going to happen this year. So it's all new. It's all new for us, and it's all exciting, and everyone around here is pretty much wondering, what on earth will this thing look like? Because you didn't see a lot of it in the preseason. And even when they did play the starters in the preseason, things were still pretty much vanilla in that third game, which was considered a walkthrough or sort of a a dress rehearsal, if you will, for what was going to happen in the regular season. So, man, I'm all for it. I'm excited. I want to see what it's like. I want to see are they the type of team now that has the ability to come back? Can they be more aggressive and make and can they get after it a little bit and not be afraid to make mistakes because they know that they can regroup and come back from those mistakes with their offense? So going to be a very, very exciting thing to see. And I know we're talking about the defense. However, offense and defense, these things kind of play into each other a little bit. So the defense usually predicts or can give you an idea of what the offense is going to do. And then the offense, vice versa, if they can't stay on the field and the defense is out there and they start sucking wind, then it sort of changes the way that they play. So it's a hand-in-hand situation. It all pretty much goes together. The linebackers, Miles Jack, got a big-time contract extension the other day. So the team is invested in Miles Jack for the next 4 or 5 years, and I think that it was critical for them to get one of those deals done. When I say one of, I mean either Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue, or Jalen Ramsey. You got 3 off seasons. You got this one, the next one, and the one after that, where you can do one of those deals per year. So Miles Jack is the one that got done early. Now they still have to work on Yannick Ngakoue. I don't think they're going to get anything done this year. I think they're going to use the leverage that they have with the fifth-year option on Jalen and possibly potentially the tag next year on Yannick Ngakoue. And this move allows them to be able to do that. So we'll see if the Jacksonville Jaguars are able to keep that momentum going and start retaining their own guys. Joe Giles Harris was kept. An undrafted free agent out of Duke. He was one of the guys that were kept on defense, and I think that leads you to believe that they really, really understand the importance of player development over some time. They're going to get Quincy Williams back. So now you got two young, fast running, linebackers in your repertoire and in your system and in your room, and you build those guys up and you keep developing those guys. The one that you always want to retain is your Mike linebacker because he's the quarterback of your defense, and they've done that with Miles Jack. And I think what they've done is surround him with good, sound, solid players. I would believe they also had Leon Jacobs from last year. So you got guys that can run. You got guys that can go sideline to sideline. You usually play 70% of the time. You only have a second linebacker in the game. You don't have three the way most teams that run a 4-3 do. So that's also going to be huge. Continuing with the defense, let's just move back to another level. The defensive backs, not too many surprises. They did keep 5 safeties as opposed to the 4. I thought they'd keep 4 safeties and 5 corners and then one guy that could do a little bit of both, but that's just not the way it went. C.J. Revis was not kept, and most people thought that he was a guy that was a shoe-in to make the team. But this is all about the starters, man. It's all about Jalen Ramsey, who I think is the best football player on this team, and he's going to be a guy that Todd Walsh says now, because of Jalen's maturity level, he's going to follow the best receiver from the other team. That's Tyreek Hill this Sunday. At some point, it's Michael Thomas. At some point, it's going to be Julio Jones this year. It's going to be Mike Evans. So it's going to be fun, and Jalen's going to have a chance to really get out here and earn that money and submit that status as the number one wide receiver stopper, number one cornerback in the NFL. All right, we'll talk about some perceived weaknesses and things that may not bode well for the Jaguars this coming season. We're going to do that in the next segment, but I'm going to tell you folks, man, we're going to have these crossover Wednesdays. Crossover Wednesdays are the truth here on Locked On Jaguars. We're going to do a crossover show with the Locked On Chiefs. We'll have that on Wednesday where we'll air that for you. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be the two guys every week from the teams that are going to be playing. And we'll go behind the enemy lines a little bit. We'll be doing that and have that for you on Locked On Jaguars on this Wednesday. All right, stay tuned for another segment of Locked On Jaguars. Okay, welcome to the third and final segment of the Labor Day edition of Locked On Jaguars, man. And if it's Labor Day, most of you guys don't have to work today. So, guys, let me tell you something, man. We can talk about this stuff openly. Let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's right, blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. No shame in your game, no shame in mine whatsoever, man. Go to BlueChew.com for the BlueChew chewable that will help you get your mojo back. All right, man. So we want to find out if this team has its mojo back from 2017, being the Jacksonville Jaguars, that is. I believe that they have an opportunity to do that, and a lot of that will hinge on what happens offensively with this football team. We've talked about it, the addition of Nick Foles, the commitment to Leonard Fournette, the doubling down, if you will, on the wide receiver position, thinking that these guys, other than adding Chris Conley, that they already have enough that will allow them to really, really be competitive and compete. And I think they have the wide receiver coach to get that done, and Coach Keenan McCardell. He's that kind of guy. I remind folks all the time, Keenan and Jimmy are the two best receivers that ever played for this organization. Jimmy was a second-round pick, but he was with his third team by the time he got here in Jacksonville, and he had what I believe is a Hall of Fame career. Keenan McCardell was with two other teams, Cleveland and Washington, before he ever stepped foot in Jacksonville, and he had a very good career as a Super Bowl champion, and he's known for to be a guy that worked hard on and off the field and did things the right way. So I think his influence on this football team and that wide receiver room will be just about that. You know, this team in the past has used, this organization over the years, used first-round picks on wide receivers that they didn't work out. So I do believe the development approach that they have with the guys that they have now with D.D. Westbrook and those guys, I think that's a good way to go about business and see if you can get some production. This all comes back down to Nick Foles, though. What Nick Foles are you going to get? Are you going to get Super Bowl Nick Foles? You know, do you need that in order for this team to be as successful as you want it to be? Maybe. But I just think you need confidence. I just really, really believe that you need competent, professional quarterback play, and I think Nick Foles is able to do that. The question is this. Is the whole philosophy, is all of this stuff going to work out? Is it a case where they're just doing things the right way, period, from an organizational standpoint? And that's what usually goes unknown, obviously, until the season plays out. Do they have the right stuff in terms of how important it is to make halftime adjustments, the game plan, the decision to do things a certain way, not only on offense and defense, but on special teams? Have they shored up the special teams? Are they going to get chunk plays? Who's going to be the guy that gives you the big plays? Are they going to be able to sustain drives and keep their defense fresh? Are they going to be able to get off the field on third down when their defense is on the field? Those are all these questions that you have for this football team that get answered this week. They get answered this week. And there's no better test, in my opinion, than a team like Kansas City that many people believe is going to challenge New England to go back to the Super Bowl. They were a bad, I wouldn't say a bad call, but they were an insignificant call away from going to the Super Bowl last year. Dee Ford lines up all sides on fourth down. Tom Brady throws the ball, and it's an incomplete pass. But guess what? Dee Ford lined up all sides, and it had no bearing on the play whatsoever. That game is over in Arrowhead. That game is done, and Kansas City is on their way to the Super Bowl to play the Rams, but we never got a chance to see it happen because of that play. So this is a really, really good football team. The obvious matchup this week is going to be about Tyreek Hill, who my contacts have told me he's no longer a gadget player anymore. They're going to use him just as if he was 6 foot two. Just because he's 5'9" doesn't mean anything. He's the number one guy, and they're going to throw it to him, and they're going to use him all over the field. He's going to eat up the entire route tree. That means Jalen Ramsey's going to have his hands full, because Tyreek Hill is a guy you can hold him back all game. If you miss a tackle, it's bye-bye. If you slip in your technique, it's bye-bye. And in the past, those quick scores and those chunk scores, while nobody wants to see those things against them, those would really, really hurt this team, because this team did not want to have to play. They didn't want to have to keep up with anybody. You know, that's a little bit different now. It doesn't hurt as much, because I do believe the Jaguars can score points with anybody and be able to go out and have a nice game plan where they can mix things up and match things up, because they're actually going to throw the ball to the running back. They're going to use the tight ends. They're going to test the middle of the field now, because Chris Conley is a guy who's 6'3", and it gives them back that size that they lost with Allen Robinson. So I do believe the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be a little more prolific offensively than they have in the past. When you open things up, though, you also open yourself up for miscues and mishaps and things that could go wrong. Tip balls. You don't want Nick Foles back there on his backside, because, like I said before, they have a rookie a backup quarterback. But, no, I really do believe that the way that they are coming into the season very healthy, the way that they're coming into the season without any injuries along, other than the ones that guys are recovering from last year, they're coming into this season healthy, ready to go, as long as they don't have any injuries during the early part of the year. Remember, Fournette got hurt after having a really healthy offseason, coming in camp in shape. He got hurt like 5 minutes into the game against the New York Giants, and it derailed their entire running attack for the entire season. Cam Robinson was hurt in the second week of the year. We saw in the past where Allen Robinson was hurt in the first game. Those are the things that you want to avoid. You don't want those things to happen, and I know you really can't control that, but you want to see a healthy team, because you really want to see what you have, and you don't want any excuses when you're trying to evaluate exactly what it is that you have. So for me, I think the personnel, I think the players are there. I would question some of the cuts that they made, but I'm going to give them a fair chance. And I'm thinking this is all going to be about coaching. Can Doug Marrone match wits with Andy Reid, or Todd Wash versus Andy Reid? That's what this is going to come down to. It's going to be a Todd Wash versus Andy Reid situation, and then a John DeFilippo situation against the Kansas City Chiefs defense. We haven't talked a lot about that. The Chiefs defense had a lot of turnover, but they do have some pieces. You know, the Eric Berrys of the world aren't there anymore, but they did get Tyrann Mathieu to play safety. They got Frank Clark, who I think is a better player than Dee Ford was. So Frank Clark's going to team up with Chris Jones, and Chris Jones is one of the top young interior pass rushers in the NFL. So that's going to be a handful for Jaguars offensive line, in my opinion, that was put back together this year after having a lot of injuries in the offseason. So it's game week. It's TIA Bankfield on this Sunday. I would be remiss if I did not say that there is a storm on the horizon. Obviously, everyone knows about Hurricane Dorian that has run through the Bahamas and caused a lot of damage. Well, it's sort of headed towards the east coast of Florida, so we want everybody to be safe and take care of themselves and do everything that you have to do in order to avoid any damage that comes from water. This is T-Wig with Locked On Jaguars. We'll see you more this week as football season is starting, man. We're ready to go. It's time to put toe to leather, and the games are really going to count. So we here at Locked On Jaguars and Locked On NFL, we have all of this information for you, and we're looking forward to bringing you everything we can content-wise for the NFL season.